Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a new company to the show, but I know it's a company that at least some of you have commented on and have been watching as the share price has done quite well over the last couple months. The company is Prosper Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol PGX. I am chatting with the president and CEO, Pete Bernier, as well as the VP of Exploration, Rory Ritchie. Now, guys, we are going to focus on this Golden Sidewalk project in Red Lake, Ontario. But since it's the first time having you on the show, I wanted to start off with a couple of your backgrounds, because you guys have done some stuff in this sector, and I think that should be outlined, especially in this area as well. Pete, let's start with you and some of your background in the mining sector, please.
Yes, thanks, Corey. I've been in mineral exploration for approximately 35 to 40 years now. I started with mineral exploration in Timmins, Ontario. I worked there for staking around Hemlo Gold back in the day when I was 15. I worked my way to moving to British Columbia in 2006. And when I moved to BC, I had a crew of about 30 guys working for me for different companies such as Hudson's Bay, Imperial Metals and people like that. In 2007, I decided to start my own public company, Richfield Ventures Corp. And we needed, at the time, as we all know, in 2008, we had a market crash. We had a copper project at the time. So we decided to try and find a gold project. In 2009, we had picked up the Blackwater Davidson. I got introduced to Dirk Templeman-Clewett. He was with the Geological Survey of Canada for approximately 35 years, and we became pretty good partners in looking for things, and through that, we picked up the Blackwater Davidson off of SilverQuest, and in 2 years, we took our stock from 12 cents to approximately $10 on a buyout. So that's my my past in the business, and then we started Prosper Gold Corp. After a year layoff, we sold that company incidentally in 2011 in June, 2 months before the market crash in August of 2011, and we took about a year off, and then we started Prosper Gold Corp.
And we will get into some of the nuances of the company, but Rory, I also wanted to get your background because you have done some work in this Red Lake area. Please give us some of your background, especially in Red Lake.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Yeah, Rory Ritchie here. So I've been in exploration for 15 years as an exploration geologist. Spend my time in the United States and Canada, and particularly in Red Lake. I lived there for a couple years and worked there and looked at a lot of projects. So definitely that helped a lot, and became pretty familiar with a lot of the projects and the general exploration methodologies in the area.
Now, when it comes to this Golden Sidewalk project, I understand that it's more or less a relook from some what past operators have done. There has been some drilling here. There's even been some historic mining here. But you guys, again, are taking a relook at this project. Rory, can you give us a little bit of background on this Golden Sidewalk project, please?
Yeah, you bet. So it's a big project now. Prosper's consolidated a pretty significant land position over the last 8 months. So it's 160 square kilometers now, but really the corner piece to the project was known as the Golden Sidewalk, and specifically the old Bathurst mine. So in the 20s and 30s, there was limited high-grade gold production out of the Bathurst mine. There's a bunch of operators, you know, from the 30s to 2000, and then really Sabina did the vast majority of work. Sabina Gold and Silver, that is, from 2003 up to 2019. And again, most of the focus was really up around the Golden Sidewalk there, where there's a lot of splashy gold. And then Prosper, we looked at it from a different angle, looking near kind of a big scale feature known as a regional unconformity. Came up with an exploration concept, did some work in 2020 and got some positive results.
So when I was going through the presentation, there was one thing that caught my eye in terms of all the targets and some of the pass grab samples, it showed some high-grade gold. But from talking to you guys, I understand that the relook at this project really has focused on this golden corridor. Now, this area is undercover, but Rory, can you give us a little bit of background on what attracted you to this golden corridor section within this project, and what's the work that's going to be done to hopefully prove out some sort of mineralization, high-grade gold?
Yeah, the Golden Corridor, the main feature there is a big regional scale fault, like a crustal scale feature there. It is an unconformity that has since been tilted over and now kind of manifests as a steeply dipping big crustal scale fault. So this is also what you see on the Red Lake side, where 95% of the gold ounces that have been pulled out of Red Lake have come from, you know, within 500 to 800 meters of this unconformity. The reason being, it's a serious fault structure, but really you're looking for these paralleling faults, you know, second order fault systems that are just inboard or outboard of that fault. And that's really what hosts gold mineralization. So we saw that at the Golden Corridor. We saw that the geophysics was, these lineaments were lining up where we were getting, you know, mag destructive lineaments corresponding with resistivity high lineaments. And there's some big flexures in that fault system, which is obviously playing a big role in Great Bear's Dixie project there. So it kind of checked all the boxes as far as looking for a big gold deposit that, you know, has multi-kilometer strike potential. And there was also, in 2003, Teck did a limited till sampling program on the property when they optioned it for a year. And they had an anomaly, a pristine grain anomaly out there or down in the Golden Corridor that was open and not followed up on. So that was kind of our concept from the get-go, is that, you know, you got a favorable geology down here. There's some tills. Let's see if we can build off of that. And so we did a bunch of till sampling in 2020, some more geophysics. But really, the till sample results, where we got a 3,300 by 500 meter pristine gold grain and till anomaly, right kind of where we were hoping we would see it. That, I think, is what has kind of blown the doors open on the story.
All right, so Rory, everybody, I think, knows what Great Bear has done in the area, and that was, again, a kind of a relook at a project and trying to understand what the geology might yield if drilled in a different way. How do these pristine gold grains in till, how do these play into a story? And it sounds like a narrative that you're working off very similar to Great Bear.
Yeah, as far as the exploration concept, I think it is very similar to Great Bear. The tills, I'm not sure if Great Bear did any till sampling, but the significance of the pristine gold grain and tills, there's kind of a number of facets there. First and foremost, the size of the anomaly and the pristine nature of the grains seems to indicate that you're in close proximity to something that has some significant size potential. I would say, secondly, the size of the gold grains and the number, the high number of gold grains in some of these samples, you know, kind of leads you to think that you may be onto something with some significant grade potential. And lastly, I would say, I mean, this is maybe not obvious to everyone, but these till samples are the remnant of glaciers coming along and scraping the surface of the bedrock. So you know that this. These gold grains are coming from surface.
So Pete, let's bring you back in here, because really this project, under at least the Prosper Gold Company, is still relatively new. You guys acquired or started acquiring some of this Red Lake area back in August of last year. Now that you've done some of the surface work and looked at this project in a different way and now have this Golden Corridor target, what's going to be the attack strategy here?
Our focus is obviously to get some more till sampling done, because it's open to the east, and we can connect that to another anomaly that we have a couple kilometers to the east. So the strategy is obviously try and get as much information as we can out of this. We have to go and stick some holes into this right away. So I think the earliest we can get in there is May. We'd like to do likely a 10,000 meter startup program drilling on the area with a lot more till samples. I think Rory has that number, possibly about 400 more till samples to tighten the gap, the spacing a little bit. But yeah, we want to hit it hard, as we had done in the past before with Richfield. You know, we just want to get in there, and if we get any significant sniffs at all when we're in there in May, we'll likely proceed to a winter camp so we could draw all next winter.
All right, Rory, what updates can you give us then in terms of permitting in this area to get the drill program started by, let's say, May of this year?
Yeah, sure, Corey. The permitting process has been initiated. We got a fair amount of time. In Ontario, it's a pretty favorable process. You know, it's really 50 days from start to finish there. So given that we're looking at a mid-May start, we got at least 90 days here. So, yeah, we want to make sure we do it properly. But should be no issue. And yeah, we'll be ready to go in mid-May.
All right. Just a little bit more high level overview of this Golden Corridor. Rory, what is the overall strike that you are seeing at the Golden Corridor? And what work does still need to be undertaken to get drills on site here and further isolate the drill targets?
Yeah. Good question, Corey. So right now, the Golden Corridor, because we haven't drilled it yet, it's never been drilled. You know, we're calling it a prospective corridor, and it's about 5 to 6 kilometers of prospective corridor. Reason being, there's about a 5 or 6, maybe even 7 kilometer length or segment of this regional unconformity that's in parallelism with the favorable trend. It's a little esoteric in that sense, but it's important. It's called the mine trend in Red Lake. It's the same trend that the LP zone aligns with. So we got about 6 kilometers of this favorable trend. We got about 4 or 5 kilometers of favorable geophysics along that trend. And now we have almost 3.5 kilometers of anomalous pristine gold grains and tills. And I think I alluded to the fact that these pristine gold grains by nature haven't traveled very far. That's why they're still in good shape. They've traveled probably 100 to 200 meters. So it suggests that, you know, this is forward-looking, but it suggests that you might have, you know, at least a couple kilometers of mineralization showing up in that till anomaly, and then obviously we hope with the infill till sampling and some more ground geophysics that we can stretch out the favorable trend and ultimately drill test it for, you know, for 5 or 6 kilometers.
All right, Pete, let's take care of some of the other company fundamentals. Share structure, very tight share structure. Only a little under 20 million shares outstanding on a fully diluted basis. There's about 2 million options priced at around $1.40, and warrants, about 10 million warrants, all right around $1. What can you tell us about some of the shareholders, key shareholders, and also management's ownership, please?
Yeah, well, personally, I've invested a lot of time and energy into this company. You know, I've been in the last probably 4 financings. I really believe in this story right now. So management, and we probably control 12% with friends, family, and we're probably upwards around 40%. Like you said, it's a very tight share structure. I think fully diluted, we're about 32 million. We have 20 million. Just about 20 million shares out come February 14th when some 55-cent paper comes free trading. We have about $7.5 million in the bank right now, so our first drill program for around 2,000 meters, 10,000 meters should be about $2 million, so we're well funded to get into the field this year. Plethora Precious Metals Fund has been with us since our inception, and they've continued to finance us through our finance. We've got Sprott Global involved with us now, and that's great. I've known Steve Todorick for about 20 years now, and he's hasn't invested in in our company before, so we're happy to have Sprott Global in right now. And having Crescat come in at this junction is just great. Quinton Henning's been doing a great job on all of his projects that he's been working on, so we're happy to have Crescat, Sprott, and Plethora in as institutional ownership, and they're about 20% right now.
All right, so one final comment then, cash in the bank. What does the company have cash in the bank to move forward and into drilling this year?
Yeah, we have about 7.3 million in the bank right now, and our our program for this summer, up till about July, is about $2 million.
Oh, okay. So plenty of money to move this project forward. I did just want to bring you guys on the show to introduce the company to my audience. Everybody, please let me know what you think of this company, what you like about it, maybe any questions that you have on the attack strategy or anything else for Rory or Pete to address. I'll follow up as some more news hits the market, but it sounds like right now just further working through some of the surface work to further isolate these drill targets and that 10,000 meter drill program starting in around May. Guys, I appreciate the update. Please keep me up to date on future news, and we'll touch base as some more news hits the market. Thanks for your time.